Okay, so let's look at this real quick. We're looking at Matthew 14, starting in verse 22. And let's just read on here. I got a different version than most of you probably have. So if it doesn't exactly add up, then just let it go. Read what you got. Either way. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. Okay. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Okay. We're going to stop right there. So we stopped. We just read verse 22 through 24. Okay. And so far, there's already a pretty important lesson that you might have missed. Okay. So we look at it. What do you think is Jesus' first priority right now? Just by reading those two verses, what would you catch out of a glimpse of Jesus when it comes to where his priorities lie? His Father, God, first priority. Because he sent away all the disciples, he sent all the crowds away, he excluded himself away from everything that was going on, no matter what his friends were doing, nothing like that. He let it go, and he said, you know what, this is my time with God, and this is what I'm going to do. It's my priority, and I'm going to stick with it. No matter if they're on the boat playing with fireworks or water dynamite, you know. Whatever you guys like to play with, they got Diet Coke and Mentos, I don't know. I'm just listing off a couple of things that we like to do. Thanks, Waldo. Golf, yeah. What? You say cheap golf clubs at the thrift store?
Yeah.
We've actually done that before.
I've actually done it.
Yeah.
45 cents.
It's
gonna be a lot of fun for that one.
It's a good deal. Man, I think we spent like $3 on one.
Yeah,
okay. So, what's up, man?
I got like 3 bags of golf clubs that someone had bought them, and then they were never using. They were still in, like,
brand new, stuff, huh?
And they threw them away.
Oh, man. It's like this church up the street. They threw some stuff away. Right on. Anyways, okay. Nah, dude, I liked your story. I happen to be a fan of people wasting money, and I get to reap the benefits of it. I'm just kidding. Anyways, okay. So first off, out of two verses, we already realized that Jesus has made God, his Father, his number one priority. Okay. And I think that's a part of our lives currently that we maybe miss out on. Because I know you hear a lot, oh, you got to make time for God, yada, yada. Far too often we say, okay, I'm going to make time for God. And then come that time, it's 5 more minutes or, you know, 10 more minutes. The next thing I know, it's morning because I fell asleep. Well, afternoon, because that's when I wake up. and so we really need to, I think we really need to start off by just saying, hey, you know what, it's time for me to actually step this up and say that I am going to make God a priority, because for far too often has he not been. And I think, whether you like to admit it, I think that's a problem for every single person here, because our priorities lie elsewhere. I know that most of the time mine do, and it really suffers from that, because when we're not close to God, we don't realize it at the time, but so much more then just our relationship with God is affected by us not being close to him. It affects our personality and who and how we treat other people. And other people do notice. Trust me, I can tell when somebody's not exactly where they might should be. Or they're just in a bad mood. I mean, pretty much the same thing. Just saying. So let's read on. Yeah, at least it's not the flaming lips. So. Or not the flaming, the flaming tongues. Do you remember that one?
Yeah,
this is for you. Okay, so verse 25, let's keep going. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Okay. Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. Okay. So Jesus called Peter to action through faith, and Peter did it. Okay, Peter got out of the boat, started treading on the water. The second person, I think, to ever be recorded to actually be able to walk on water. Okay, and it goes on to say in verse 30, but seeing the wind, he became frightened. Okay. Have you ever been like, I don't know, you're just like driving somewhere, like say icy roads. That's an issue lately. Say you're driving on icy roads, there's some bozo in front of you, and he likes to drive fast, and he starts spinning out on Reno. Mr. Kyle. And like there's somebody behind you, or like you're the person behind that person doing that. Are you gonna think, oh my gosh, I'm gonna die because of that bum and his no good driving skills? You get that feeling? I know Kayla does. I get that feeling every time I get in the car with Spencer. Icy roads or not. I'm just kidding.
It is true. I get it too.
But, okay, so. So we look at it, and just by seeing something that could possibly hurt or harm us, we get freaked out by it. Would you agree that that's happened before to you? I mean, you just see something? Right on. And just because we see something that could potentially be harmful doesn't mean it's going to touch you. Just going to get that out there. Just because Spencer could drive crazy doesn't mean he's going to hurt me.
You don't know that.
I don't know that, but you know what? I've made it for how many years riding with him? So far I'm all right. You know? And I don't know, but see, the thing is when it comes to fear, you can man up, but fear, when fear grows within you, okay, see, look, let's put it this way. Peter was doing the will of Jesus. He said, come. And so Peter was coming. Okay. And so if we look at it that way, if we're in the middle of God's will doing what God needs us to do, and then we see something that could potentially stumble us or an obstacle that we have to overcome, then eventually that fear within us will actually pull us away from doing the will of God. Okay? You kind of get what I mean there? Right on? Right on, buddy. Okay, so let's keep going with it. Okay? We'll just start in verse 30. But seeing the winds, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Okay? He cries out to Jesus, and then what happens next? Okay, immediately, verse 31, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Okay, here's the thing. Whenever you call on Jesus, he's going to automatically be there. Okay, you may be like, man, this teacher's the devil. I won't listen to her. She's got none of my attention. She's the devil. Jesus, strike her down. You may not just see her just go like this and fall over. I mean, there may not be no roar of thunder. If it does happen, God bless you. I wish you were around in high school when I was there. But I tried it. I don't think it's gonna happen. Okay. And so look at that. You got me all thrown off now. What was I even saying? Okay. So immediately, Jesus will always be there. It may not always be the way that we expect it to be or want it to be, hope it will be, know it should be, but it will happen eventually, you know? If you go to Isaiah 40:31, the famous verse in the Bible, anybody know what it is? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, last verse of chapter 40. Hey, look, I have it right here. I'll just read it to you guys. Jose, you want to read it, Jose?
Yeah.
All right, I'll let you read it.
But those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. They will fly high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint.
Wow. Okay. So that right there means whenever you wait upon God, you know, you say, hey, God, I need this issue to be fixed. You turn it over to God, it's not automatically going to be fixed. Every time. I mean, sometimes these might be like, oh yeah, and it's gone. You know, skadoosh, whoopow, whatever terminology you prefer, pwned, whatever. Noob. I know a couple of you guys in the back are like that one. Ozzy.
I'm just saying, if someone that you're trying to be a Christian, God like takes that away because you die,
God
or something,
came
like
already.
Someone came
He's already chosen
to carjack you, would your wife go to hell because you couldn't help them? Wouldn't that be like, wouldn't you blame them yourself, kind of?
Well, honestly, you'd kind of be gone, so I don't know if you could really blame yourself for it. But I get what you mean. Yeah. Well, in my opinion, whenever there are certain people in the world that each individual person is meant to help and lead back to God. Okay. And in my opinion, that's just if it doesn't happen, then it just wasn't meant to happen. Not necessarily that it won't happen at all, but maybe just not through you. Or maybe the fact that your passing somehow played a role in that eventually happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, I kind of get what you mean there, though. Like, I understand. Okay. Let me keep going here. Real quick. And more than happy to continue after, if you'd like, because I understand your questions. It's just it's hard to answer right now for me personally, anyways. And so let me tell you a little story about this organization, if you will. It's a website called 1millioncan.com. It's started. It's kind of a movement-ish kind of thing that's kind of gone up through college students. I don't know if any of you've heard about it. Louis Giglio, I believe is his name. Strange. He's a world famous speaker, I believe. He goes around, he does, passion conferences. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of that either. It's like Acquire the Fire on crack. Like, a lot bigger. And they actually do like world tours instead of just U.S. stuff. They go all over the world. Chris Tomlin and him do that. And, what they do is they decided one day, they took, like, I think, like, 7 or 8 issues, just different parts of the world, just random issues, kind of like we're doing with the Guatemala Mission Houses for the Widows. They took, like, this handful of issues, sat it down right there in front of people, and they said, $500,000 can fix all of this. And they didn't want to make it about money, but they said, $500,000 will take care of all of that right there. And so they proposed it at the Passion Conferences to all the students and everybody that was there, and they're like, you know, we think starting in January all the way through December, we can achieve this goal of $500,000. So by the end of the year, college students had actually given over $1 million. And so they were able to tackle even more stuff there. So through that, now they're actually on their second movement where they have all these other issues that they're getting ready to work on. And I think last time I checked, they're up to 929,000. I think, somewhere in that ballparkish area. So they're getting really close again. And they got even more issues that they can fix this time. I mean, it's like, one of the issues is the sex trade over in the other sides of the world. Yeah, somewhere around there. And it's stuff like that. And see, my point with it is, one person randomly decided to say, hey, something needs to be done here. And I'm no longer going to just sit and say it needs to be done. I'm going to get up and do it. And it just keeps growing. Whenever there's a movement, it grows. But it's all got to start somewhere. I mean, do you think there's like 7 people just sitting in a room like... Sorry, there's 6 of you in this section right here. Do you think that you 6 are just sitting there and all of a sudden it's like, bam, everybody's thinking the same thing and it's going to change the world? You think that's ever going to happen? No, I bet you it's going to start with, say, Jose, and then Jose's going to tell Maritza, and then Maritza's going to tell Anna. Sorry, I don't know everybody's names. And then it just slowly moves on through everything. I don't want to get your name wrong because you told me 17 times. Every time I say it wrong. What is it? Rayleigh. That was right? Okay. It was embarrassing last time, so I didn't want to go for it. Okay. So here's the thing. It's got to start somewhere, right? Okay, let's go back to Matthew 14. Let's look at this a different way. Everybody remember this, the story of Jesus walking on water and Peter. So everybody thinks, you know, you first read that story, you're going to think, wow, I guess we're all a bunch of Peters. We're all just scared of everything, sinking in the water. Because we don't know what to do with ourselves. Would that be the first thought that you would apply yourself as Peter? What if you're not Peter? And I'm not saying that you're Jesus. So let me show it to you this way. When you accept Jesus in your heart, do you become part of Him and Him a part of you? Would you believe that to be true? So therefore, God works through us, correct? What if there's someone in your life right now that God is trying to reach out and save through you, and you won't stretch out your arm? Can any of you envision somebody around you that maybe you felt the need to be paying a little more attention to that you don't? I mean, that you just ignore them? I mean, you look at people as they go down the hallway and you say, oh, they smell funny. I don't think they've showered in years, let alone weeks. And you see people out on the street, you see homeless people out there. And it's like, I mean, are we doing any good just by saying, hey, get a job, bum, and keep going? I mean, what is that really going to do? It doesn't make him get a job. That shows hate in the world, in my opinion. And so if we take this story and we kind of take us out of the center part of it and stop making everything about us and we start trying to do some good in the world, you think it can be done?
Yeah.
I know you're thinking, oh, I live in Choctaw. It's not going to happen today. Probably not tomorrow. I'm going to be sitting here next year doing the same thing. But I don't think that's really how it's supposed to be. Because we've just allowed this reality television. Do you think that is anything of reality, what you see on TV? It's not. It's actually the furthest from it. Sorry. The Bachelor, farthest from it.
Yeah.
Big Brother, farthest from it. Okay. You don't get one big house, and then all these people move in, and then you just get to play games every day. I mean, it's not how the real world is. The real world is terrible. There's people out there that are dying of hunger while Andrew and I go tear up McDonald's and eat like 3 or 4 cheeseburgers at a time. Well, not at like one physical time, but in one sitting. Spencer's in on that too. I mean, so I think one of the biggest problems lately is that we all are just too focused on us. And it really reflects in the attitude that you put forth to other people. Okay? The way that you respond to issues, the way that you just go about carrying yourself daily, it just shows. I mean, if it's crap on the inside, guess what? I'm sorry. You look like crap. Just being honest. Okay. So, you may be wondering, well, how do we go about maybe helping somebody? Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 9:19-22 talks about how you bring yourself to that level. I mean, you're not bringing yourself down to a level because, I mean, really, God is with the homeless and the poor and the needy. So in my opinion, us wealthy stiffs are just going up to their level because they're closer to God than I believe that any of us could really ever be until we actually open our eyes to what's actually happening. Okay. And so we look at the differences and, I mean, it really just... Chapter 9:19-22 here. We'll read it real quick. And it may not make a lot of sense, but just try to keep up. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I may win more. To the Jews I became as a Jew, so that I might win as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that I may by all means save some. Okay. And if that doesn't make sense, let me tell you this story real quick about a band from, I believe they're from Ireland. Is Belfast an island? Anybody know?
Yes.
Awesome, thank you. Belfast is an island. Okay. And this band is from Belfast, Ireland. The name of the band is called Blue Tree. They're a worship band. And they were playing a gig with Chris Tomlin. They were opening over in Belfast. And somehow Chris Tomlin heard this story about what they did. And one night they were in Thailand, somewhere in Thailand. And I don't know if you guys all know a lot about Thailand. Thailand is one of the biggest areas for the sex slave trade, stuff like that, with children, mainly little girls. And so this band's over there, and they're doing kind of like mission work, and this guy comes up to him and says, "Hey, I have a bar. Do you guys want to come play at it?" Because he just heard they're a band. He didn't even care what kind of band they are. He's just like, "Hey, come play." And they're like, "Okay, yeah, we'll come play." A worship band going to a bar to play. Most people might think, eh. But in my opinion, that's a higher worship than what we do here at any other place. Because worship isn't necessarily just singing, dancing, going crazy, you know, jumping up and down, beach balls all the time. You know, worship, when it is put into action, is such a higher form than we could ever sing on a stage or in a room together. And so what these guys did is, they said, "Yeah, we'll go to this bar." And this bar was more than a bar. It was actually one of the places where a lot of this sex trade happened. So they said, okay. So they just played. They played for like 2 hours. And so first off, what they did is they went to their environment and said, "Hey, you know what? We may be different, but we're still going to love you and hang out here because you're worth the time." And so and they made themselves available to God for God to work through them. Okay. And so what happened is, in the middle of this 2 hour set, the singer just kind of had the song just come to him, and he just started singing it, and they just kind of started playing it. And eventually they just kept it going afterwards. They kept playing it wherever they go play. Chris Tomlin finally heard it when they played the gig with him. Then they told him the story about what happened. They showed him some video of them actually playing it at the place. And now it's one of the biggest songs on the radio because Chris Tomlin recorded it. And he did it. They did the whole Passion Conference World Tour wrapped around this one song. And it's called "God of This City." And it talks about greater things are yet to come, greater things are still to be done. That whole song just came, you could pretty much say, prophetically, through these guys making themselves available to God and for Him to work through them. Okay? And so when we look at that, we really, it kills me lately, because, I mean, something that's just been bugging me lately is just, we're obviously all different. There's nobody in here that's actually completely the same. Kyle's a little different than I am. Jonathan's different from Kyle. Brad's different from Jonathan. Laren's different from Brad. Kayla's different from Laren. I mean, it'll just go on. But we've managed to allow our differences to decide who we are and where we belong. We've allowed these differences of what clothes we wear, what kicks you got on, you know, whether you got the bling bling flying, you know, even gotten so bad that if you have a different skin color, then you belong somewhere else. Jonathan enjoys that aspect, but you see, I think I've finally reached a point to where it's just like, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you like. I don't care. It's cool. I know I'm one of the lamer kids in the world.
Amen.
But, you know, thanks, Kyle. But here's the point. Somewhere in the world, we stopped loving each other. And we just became filled with hatred because love comes from God. So therefore, somewhere, we've started to part away from God, in a sense, because we just stopped loving each other, no matter what. There's always going to be differences. There's always going to be things that just drive you crazy about somebody else. I don't have a friend that doesn't drive me crazy at some time. I don't have a friend that I don't drive crazy at some time. It just happens. Okay? But if we can manage to put it aside and just let love come through, don't you think if we might be changing the world to make it a better place just by doing that? It's possible. Okay? And as we wrap this up, I can't physically make you reach your hand out to people. I've tried to make people do that, but it's not going to work. I mean, it's you opening up your heart and allowing God to work through you is completely between you and God. But I can tell you this right now, that when we fail to allow Him to do the things that He needs to do, not only will He do it through somebody else then, but there will eventually be consequences. I remember this guy, Alex Amaya, speaking at the first Falls Creek I ever went to, and he talked about how his friend came to stay with him, flew in to stay with him for like a week or two, and they went to take him to the airport, and all the way, the car ride to the airport, he just felt the need to just tell his friend about God. And he never did it. And then his friend flew home. And before he ever got to see or talk to him again, I don't exactly remember what happened. His friend had actually passed away. Kind of close to what you were asking about. So it does happen. And the rest of Alex's life, he's kind of like, you know, that's my fault. I didn't tell him. I should have told him. I didn't tell him. And so he actually got to walk around with that burden. Okay. And I don't think that's anything that any of you guys want. I want you guys to watch this video real quick. Because this world's a little more of what the world really is and how much we actually are just wrong on what we think is everyday life.
It's not hard to see that this is great imbalance and that things aren't right. You know, I know that, but for me, I suppose, it really hits home if I stop and think about this moment. Because it's happening right now. In the same moment, you have, you know, a generation who are sitting around entertaining themselves, watching reality television, which, to be honest, is anything but real. While you have a child who is being prostituted behind closed doors and robbed of their innocence. It's not fair that we can go about consuming every single material option that comes our way while, you know, the widow and orphan are stripped of life's basic dignities because they're victims of a conflict that simply isn't theirs. It's not fair that there's a generation who are choking on their obesity while at the same time there's 30,000 children who will die today for lack of food. It's not fair that we have no problem going about spending $3 or $4 on what is basically glorified tap water in a bottle with a fancy label, while you have entire communities who suffer at the hands of disease because the only water that they have access to is foul and polluted. It's not fair that we, you know, can sing and dance and jump around in our freedom and in our liberty while at the same time the slave remains captive, out of sight and out of mind. It's not fair that we can sit and watch the evening news from the comfort of our living rooms and pity those who lived where the storm hit or where the ground shook or where the water rose, simply feel sorry for them and then change the channel and get on with supper. Is it fair to walk past the homeless man and give him nothing in the assumption that he'll spend it on booze or cigarettes or to suggest that he should go out and get a job? I mean, who are we to judge the alcoholic or the prostitute or the addict or the criminal as if we are any better? Who are we to forget the downtrodden or the oppressed or the marginalized while we go about chasing the dream? We see this imbalance and we go, man, that's not right, that's not fair. But all too often that's all we do. Because for us to do any more is actually going to cost us something. And if that's where it ends, perhaps then it's fair to say that when we ignore the prostituted child, that we actually lend our hand to their abuse. That when we ignore the widow and the orphan in their distress, that we actually add to their pain. When we ignore the slave who remains captive, that it's us who's entrapping them. That when we forget the refugee, that it's us who's displacing them. That when we choose not to help the poor and the needy, that we actually rob them. Perhaps the only fair thing to say is that when we forsake the lives of others, we actually forsake our own.
So, looks like we all got an option. I'd say a good place for everybody to start is right here in this room, because there's differences in this room and it's separated everybody to where there's groups here now, and we've allowed our differences to keep us all separate from each other. It's happened for a long time too. So let's close our eyes and let's bow our heads and let's pray. You know, maybe you're feeling tonight that maybe you just don't love people the way that you need to, that God wants you to. I don't know. I mean, maybe you just don't feel that close to God anymore at all. Regardless of what it is, He is mighty. He is able. He is willing. Something that we've so missed so too often is that God wants to help us. I know it's hard for some people to fathom, but He truly wants to help you. You know, all the Christians in the world separate themselves, whether you're Baptist, Pentecostal, Presbyterian, you know. We've let our differences keep us apart. I just don't think it's worth it. So maybe we just need to love each other a little bit better than what we have done. A little bit more than what we've been doing. Dear God, we come to You tonight, Father. And we just pray that that Your words sink into our hearts. That it not just be something that we come and listen to for a few minutes and then we go back to living our lives the way that we want to. God, we are here for such a short time that it's time to get work done, because Your work needs to be done. God, most of us know the good news. Most of us know where we're going, but please help us to just share that with other people. No matter who they are, no matter what difference there might be between us and them, God, Your people are more important than our differences and what keeps us away from each other. And we just pray that You just rip down those walls, those barriers that keep us, that make us think that we need to stay away from those people, God. And we just pray that You bring situations to these people here so that they can not only know that You need them, but so that they can actually stretch out and start working for your better. God, we pray that you just bless every person here. Bless their hearts. God, we know that you'll give us the strength to do whatever you've called us to do. God, we know that you love us. Thank you so much for everybody being here tonight. God, in Jesus' name, get them home safely.